Today's scripture is Psalm 50:23. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 10,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet worldwide, GCN viewing audiences. In the Bible, whether Old or New Testament, there are so many verses that tell us to give thanks. We should not just give thanks with our lips, but we should profess all the things for which we give thanks with all our hearts. The praises in Psalms, when they were singing about thanksgiving after the Exodus, they did not just say thank God for bringing us out of Egypt and letting us go into Canaan. They gave thanks in detail, for example, for killing the firstborns of Egypt, for bringing out people of Israel, for parting the Red Sea, for allowing for them to pass through the Red Sea, and for destroying the Egyptian army that was chasing them. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." It tells us that even in physically difficult situations, we should pray with thanks and not with worries. We should give thanks and not just for getting answers and blessings, but in the midst of difficulties too. The reason why God puts such a great emphasis on thanksgiving is because it is the key to receiving answers and blessings. Thanksgiving is the surest evidence of faith that can directly show one's faith. But we shouldn't just give thanks with lips. We have to give thanks from the bottom of our heart. It has to stem from the depth of our heart. That it has to be true thanksgiving. You know, we can say any as much as we want. You know, thank you, I love you. But that is not true confession. We have to give thanks with the thanks that is stemming out from our heart. So thanksgiving is the surest evidence of faith that can directly show one's faith. Without faith, we cannot please God, and we can receive as substance everything we hope for only with faith. Even if it seems we are at a dead end and there is no way out of hardships, God can open the way anytime. Even the Red Sea can be parted and the flooding Jordan River can stop its flow. Neither drought, nor wars, nor diseases are any problem for God to resolve. If there are any complicated problems in families, workplaces, or among people, God can easily solve any problem. If we really believe that God controls the history, the life and death, and the blessings and curses of man, the very fact that He controls all things in the universe, then how can we not give thanks in any circumstances? Also, when we give thanks for small things from the depth of our heart, God will accept that thanksgiving and give to us more greatly. Even the parents of this earth would do the same. If the children always give them thanks, even for small things, how happy the hearts of the parents would be. They would want to give them more and better things. Today's reading passage says, "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors God." Today is Thanksgiving Sunday. I hope you will give God a deeper aroma of thanksgiving for the grace God has given you, and for the greater grace that He will give you. I hope you will honor the Father in doing so. I also pray in the name of the Lord that you will have fullness of conditions of thanksgiving. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the morning service I explained that justice and love are needed for the providence of God to bear rich fruits. Because of your sins, fullness of the sins, when I was praying for you, do you think I would pray for you without the love coming out from my heart? I couldn't bear any soul falling into hell. I consider each of you as same as my own child, my own children and my own families. I do not have priority over my own family and my own children. I love everybody with the love of God. But as said in Proverbs 8:17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me will find me. That is the justice of God. That is the rule of God. So everybody is the same. You know, of course, you love all your, if you have 10 children, you love all of them. But if there is any child who obeys you very well, who listens to you very well, you know, you will have to give some more love for that child, to that child. You know, if there is any troublemaker all the time, he makes troubles all the time, and you know, the teacher is calling you all the time because of this child, because he's making so many troubles, so many problems. And it is, the child is only giving you so many worries. So, in the Sunday morning service, I explained that justice and love are needed for the providence of God to bear rich fruit. Let us review it briefly. When God fulfills His providence, He does not just do it as He sees fit, saying, I am Almighty, I can do whatever I want. It is also in the nature of God that He fulfills everything according to the order and law of justice. Saying there is justice, in other words, means that the price has to be paid to achieve something. It is the same as that in order to bear abundant fruit, we must sow the seed and take care of it with the sweat of our labor until we harvest. When the providence of salvation of the sinners was fulfilled, Jesus paid the price with His life to fulfill the measure of justice. In the process of paying the price, sacrifice and dedication must follow. To make sacrifice and dedication possible, there must be love. Jesus had great enough love to go through severe sufferings for us. With His love that was able to accept even the unimaginable pain He would suffer, He completely fulfilled the measure of justice to achieve the work of salvation. Dear brothers and sisters, what is the result that Jesus fulfilled justice with love? It was the fruit of glory. He opened the way of salvation for those souls who believed in the Lord and let them enjoy glory as children of God. Jesus Himself was also glorified as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Furthermore, He gave great glory to God the Father, who orchestrated all these things. Dear brothers and sisters, the relationship between justice, love, and glory will be applied to this church in the same way. Going towards the end of human cultivation, when God fulfills His providence for the end time and for this church, in the 30 years of history of this church, there was not a single moment that was meaningless in regard to fulfilling the providence of human cultivation. God guided us in every hour of every day to bear the fruit He planned and to receive glory. When God gave us a certain goal, and as we went towards that goal, we sometimes encountered hardships for reasons that we couldn't really understand. But as more time passed, we came to understand that everything went according to the schedule of God, who planned to achieve all things precisely according to justice. The times during which we were patient were the times given to us to fulfill the measure of justice according to God's plan, to pay the price of love. Through the church growth, great works of God, manifestation of the deep spiritual realm, mega-sized overseas crusades, and world evangelism, and fruits of Spirit and Holy Spirit. Through all these fruits that have been born, God received glory. The moments that we are going through right now are a procedure to fill up the measure of justice. And the glory that will be revealed is much greater than the glory we saw in the past. It is a process to reveal the fruits of glory, to unfold the invisible glory of God over all peoples, to save countless souls from this sin-filled world, to receive the financial blessings to build the grand sanctuary, and to have enough strength to stand against the power of the Antichrist and proclaim the glory of God. Some of the young people there, now their eyes are opening about the Antichrist. Some of them, they watch some videos. You know, world-renowned people, they are alongside the Antichrist, many businessmen, many politicians, since so many hundreds of years ago, in a system, in an organization. Even the leaders of religions, And they are also part of this organization. And these people, you know, they hate when God, works of God are manifested. Especially when they're part of God. When part of God is manifested, they hate it so much and they try to destroy these people who manifest the power of God. And we have to win the victory against this kind of a powers. So that's why there must be so many men of spirit and Holy Spirit. God's works are not being achieved slowly, and our waiting will not be so long. After all His providence is abundantly accomplished, we will sing in one voice that truly His providence is perfect. Dear brothers and sisters, in order to participate in this blessing and glory, there is a part that you have to accomplish. In the great providence of God, in order for you to enjoy the great, enjoy the glory together, you yourselves must have the qualifications. It is to recover the lost image of God. In the second part of the service, we will celebrate Holy Communion, which embeds the ways for the children of God to recover the lost image of God. We can be transformed into true children of God when we eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man. John 6:54 says, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Reversely speaking, it means those who do not eat the flesh nor drink the blood of the Son of Man. Those who do not eat the flesh nor drink the blood of the Son of Man do not have eternal life or the hope of resurrection. That is why our church always explains the spiritual meaning of the Holy Communion every time with a great emphasis on it. First, to eat the flesh of the Son of Man is to take in the Word of God. John chapter 1 verse 1 says God is the Word. And John 1:14 says that God, who is the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us, and He is Jesus. So, to eat the flesh of the Son of Man, in other words, is to take in the Word of God. So if you really take in the Word of God, you have to have the knowledge of the Word of God too. You have to have the knowledge of what is absolutely necessary. So that's why I always tell you to read the Bible, to memorize the Bible verses. And it's been a long time. And if you've been doing this for a long time, now most of you must be able to memorize Bible verses. And if I ask you any question, you would have to be able to answer, you know, elders. The pastor. Like Pastor Geum Nan Hwa. Not as much as her, not as much as she can, but, you know, I ask you the verses that are most commonly used, then you'd have to be able to answer if you really take in the Word of God with your heart. Even though you are too old to memorize anything, you still remember some things. That is why I always put an emphasis on the Word of God. Read the Bible, memorize the Bible verses, and listen to the sermons, and put them into practice, and cultivate them in spirit, as spirit in your heart. And if you cultivate them in spirit, even if you don't remember, it doesn't matter, because it is in your heart. It is not related with your memory. Because you don't have memory, do you skip your meal? Because you don't have memory power, can't you find your home, your work, your company? It's got nothing to do with your memory. And do you forget the faces of your relatives? Unless you have some dementia, or even though you don't have memory, it just comes out naturally. And I always tell you that I don't have any memory power. And how can you give all the examples and parables and then I have a note, which is only for 20 minutes, and how can I preach for more than an hour? It doesn't matter, you know. Memory power doesn't matter. If you cultivate it in your heart, in spirit, even if I don't remember which chapter, which verse, I know where it is in the Bible, and I can tell you all these things. You know, even if I don't know which chapter, which verse, you know, I can answer that, you know, we have eternal life only when we eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink the blood of the Son of Man. This does not only mean we know the words of the Bible as knowledge, but we have to change our hearts with them. Those who are received the calling of us pastors recently, most of them are in spirit or very close to spirit. And why don't you ask them? You know, the most commonly used Bible verses or some scriptures. They would answer right away. Today is Sunday, so ask them to maybe preach next Friday. Then they will say amen and they'll just do it right away. They received a calling very recently. And that's why they received such a calling. And they are coming forth as spiritual warriors. Even though they will receive the calling at a later time, they are already ahead. And they are being used in many places. They are preaching here and there. The children's Sunday school, student Sunday school. You know, they don't even have time to prepare for sermons, but they deliver the message right away. Because they are arming themselves with the Word of God. That's why they go into spirit very quickly. You know, it doesn't just happen. It is to cast off evil and replace that evil with goodness and love. To eat the Word of God this way, we have to drink the blood of the Son of Man together with it. This means as well as learning the Word of God, we have to put the Word we learned into practice. So we have to obey it. Even if we read and learn the Bible, it is no use if we don't obey. So when we obey, it is cultivated in our heart as a spirit. So even though you become number one in your competition, Bible quiz competition, if you do not obey, if you do not cultivate it in spirit, you cannot become a spiritual warrior. So you know you have a lot of knowledge of the Word of God, but you cannot really become a spiritual warrior. So what you remember, memorize, you have to practice it, you have to obey it, so you can cultivate it in your heart and you can become a spiritual warrior. That's what I always teach you. So, it has to be accompanied with the action of obedience. It is much in the same way that when we eat food, we have to take in liquids too. Suppose there's no liquid in the food, no liquid at all in your food. Eventually, you will die. Oh, I don't drink any water. You know, even though you don't drink any water, there's, you know, liquid everywhere in your food, even in rice, even in kimchi. You know, also, I drink a cup of coffee. There is water. You know, in fruits, there is liquid. So I don't drink water quite often. Some people say you have to drink a liter or two of water every day, but I don't even drink glass of water. And since the opening of the church until now, I've never drunk any tap water. You know, they say it is okay to drink tap water, but you know, they make it clean. So I believe it is okay, but I don't drink any tap water because I don't really like it. Without liquid, if we just keep on eating dry food, we won't be able to digest the food very well. Our body also can absorb the nutrients and eliminate the body waste only when liquid is available. In the same way, once we learn the truth, we have to not just remember it in our head, but we must try to practice what we learn. We have to obey the words that tell us to do, not do, keep, or cast away certain things. Only then will the Word of God that you learned become your life and strength. To the extent that love is added, hatred will go out. To the extent that humbleness enters, arrogance will go out, and as gentleness is poured in, anger flows out. In 1 John 1:7, we can understand that we have life in us not just when we eat the flesh, but when we also drink the blood of the Son of Man together with it. The Scripture says, "But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." We always hear this verse. You know, you hear this so many times. Maybe your ear will run out hearing this verse, you know, so many times a year. So if you digest it, If you keep it, practice it, then you keep the law of God, statutes of God. You cultivate spirit. And even though you hear so many times, and if I ask you, which verse? Which chapter? Which verse? Can you memorize? And probably more than half of you will not be able to raise your hand. Here to walk in the light means to obey and practice the word of God. For us to be forgiven of our sins through the blood of Jesus, we have to dwell in the light. As you attend this church, you will listen to this message at least 3 times a year. But sometimes a number of you have knowledge of the word because you have been attending church for a long time, for a long period of time. But your circumcision of heart is taking place slowly, for you do not have enough spiritual understanding. For so many years, you just put a cover over the hatred, anger, hard feelings in your heart and just lead a superficial Christian life. If you are one of them, you cannot recover the lost image of God and become His true child, and you cannot become a valuable instrument to be used by God when He is fulfilling His providence for this church. I hope you, my beloved believers, will make up your mind once again. I urge you in the name of the Lord that you will not be lazy at all, but try hard to cast off even the slightest bit of untruth, so that you will become God's children who are sanctified and holy. Some people, they attend Daniel prayer meeting diligently, and one person is diligent and the other thinks, oh, do I have to do that much? I just keep the Lord's Day holy, I give tithe, and I just pray. And he wouldn't come to a special Daniel prayer meeting. What does he do? He just watches TV. Suppose two people did that. And after a year, what kind of difference would you be able to find? One person is going into spirit and the other is falling into the flesh with the love of the world. And he cannot communicate with God. He cannot love God. Because he loves as much as he loves the world, God's love does not abide in him. So he doesn't love God. So look at the comparison. So it's the same in the future. One side will be prosperous in everything. He'll be healthy. While the other will have troubles and might even become unhealthy. And New Jerusalem, you know, the lazy one, he will just think, it'll be fortunate for me if I can just be saved. He wouldn't even be able to dream of New Jerusalem. But the other one, the diligent one, you know, he'll be thinking of, oh, where am I now? I'm in the second kingdom of heaven, and I'm very close to the third kingdom of heaven. So if I try a little more, I will be able to enter into New Jerusalem. Just think about these two people. What kind of difference can you find? And this side, always happy, always joyful. But the other, while the other is not happy, not joyful. There'll be the difference after a year of life. You know, if you watch TV, you are happy just for the moment. But after a year, you'll find it so hard. So that's why God is telling you not to take the meaningless things. After that moment, everything is meaningless. King Solomon, he took so many women, but everything was meaningless. He realized everything was so meaningless. It's the same today. If you enjoy yourself in women and drinking, and even though you don't do that. If you attend Daniel prayer meeting, if you work faithfully for the kingdom of God, and you'll be even happier. And the difference in spirit will be so much. This side will be happy and so joyful, while the other will live a painful, a suffering life. And he will think like he has all the unhappiness of the world, while this side is enjoying a happy life. Students. So the present is important. Now, with the determination, you are trying hard, but in the future too. The shepherd is praying on the mountains to hear the original voice of God, and what will happen when he actually hears the original voice of God and manifests the great works of God. And if you want to participate in the ministry and be help to the senior pastor, and if you have this kind of, you should have this kind of determination, work out your talents, if you excel in academics and you can study hard, and if you are good at the sports or athletic, or if you are good at the performing arts, you can try hard in your develop your talents. The grace and power of God also come while ripples continuously come on the seashore. Sometimes the big waves also rush towards the beach. The grace and power of God also come both in small scales and in full scale from time to time. But in any case, the amount of grace one can receive depends on each person. It depends on how big a vessel you have prepared to receive the grace by storing up your works that you do with faith and hope. The grace of God given at different times will let you bear different sizes of fruits for your works that you do with your thanksgiving effort on circumcising your heart, patience, and trust and love. I pray in the name of the Lord that in doing so, you will become honorable instruments in fulfilling the abundant providence of God. I pray for the sick. Heavenly Father, thank you. Let this message become life and faith. Lay your hands on them and give them spiritual and physical health. Father, there are prayer requests from other countries. Please let them be understanding. We have a second part, Holy Communion, and I cannot mention all the prayer requests. But Father, lay your hands on them and answer to them. We have requests from Nepal, India, Australia, Germany, DR Congo, and neighboring country. Father, lay your hands on their photos and names and prayer requests and answer to their prayers. Light come. Father, give them the answer. Father, lay your hands transcending time and space and give them blessings. Give them spiritual and physical health from head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues. Burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and give them spiritual and physical health. Lord, thank you. Be with us in the second part, Holy Communion 2. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.